You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
To kick off the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Matt Nair on air. For the audio sorbet segment, Jane, Greg, and Calvin ask, do you pedicure? They hear from lots of people on this, you know, whether they do it all, why and why not. We hear from one listener, Brett, who talks about how he likes to get fish to nibble off the bad skin. They open the discussion up to all after we hear from people who feel self-conscious about their feet, and men who might feel this isn't a masculine thing to do.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us 855-752-4842. You can leave a text. Mm-hmm. You can call. You can also leave a voice note.
Absolutely.
And if you can leave a comment as well, if you're watching on the live stream, good morning, live stream.
Hi, live stream.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up, get away from the news. Essentially, we attempt to
clean your ears with fun.
So here is today's Audio Sorbet question. We were talking about this as we were putting the show together this morning. Guys, specifically, do you pedicure? Have you ever had a pedicure? 855-752-4842. Have you ever had a pedicure? That is our today's Audio Sorbet question. I think a lot of women do. You go for a mani-pedi. Mm-hmm. I have talked to a couple guys who have gotten pedicures and they loved it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. I would also, I mean, I know we're directing this towards guys, but I'd like to know if you don't.
Why?
Why not? And yeah. And the reason why I ask is specifically for, and I'm going to call you out, Calvin, but it's because I love and I want to share and I want to connect with people. But there's a specific reason why you've never done it. And it's not what I think people would expect from guys. Calvin, why is it that you have not gotten a pedicure ever?
Well, I can't say this is the sole reason or
the sole reason,
the primary reason.
Nice.
But I have ticklish feet and I kind of am worried about that.
There you go. Understood.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that completely. They're pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Once, you know, if you go to the, I go to the same person mm-hmm. and have for a long time and I'm really ticklish too, Calvin.
Yeah.
But he will be very careful not to make me lose my mind.
And if they start tickling you, get up and walk out. Well, you didn't pay for that. You did not pay for that at all.
No, if you tell them, you know, if you tell them, just be careful, I'm really ticklish, mm-hmm. they'll probably do that. 855-752-4842. Have you ever had a pedicure? Guys, in particular, just curious. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would like it. I really do.
Yeah.
No, Dave, you're not on my bad sheet.
I don't understand where that came from.
I don't either.
No,
not at all, Dave.
What happened, Dave?
We love you.
We love you, Dave. We love New Berlin.
Dan from Wausau on WXCO. I've never had such a thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that in a Seinfeld voice.
Yeah.
Andrew from Maine, listening on WAUK. I've had a pet cured, but it wasn't a boy dog.
You know what? Don't be funnier than me, Andrew, okay? I don't have much in life. I don't have Jane's brains and or looks or talent. I don't have Calvin's know-how brains and or looks and or talent. All I have is my humor, and sometimes that falls flat. Don't be funnier than me.
855-752-4842. Guys, specifically, ladies, too.
Yeah.
Just curious, do you pedicure? Have you had a pedicure?
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about a pedicure? Are you pedicure curious?
Are you pedicurious?
Pedicurious. Oh, I like it.
I hate myself.
That's the whole name for the segment. No.
Oh.
Brett from Brown Deer is on the line. Good morning, Brett. Thanks so much for joining us. What about you?
Hey, guys. That's a great topic. No, I've never had a pedicure, but every year, my wife's Thai, so we go back to Thailand.
Yep.
Okay.
And last 2 years or 2 years ago, I was they have those fish tanks.
Yes.
Yes, where they nibble on your toes. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Talk about ticklish. I'm really ticklish. It was so hard to keep my feet in there, and I'm laughing. And it goes on a while.
Yeah.
Then afterwards, though, it really felt like a chemical peel or something.
I believe it.
So I could feel it different.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It gets you all nice and smooth and, like, baby toes and all those things.
I've got the feet of a baby's butt right now.
But I can see that, Brett, with being really ticklish with those little minnows.
I don't want to assume what you look like, Brett, but from your voice, and by the way, I just want to say really quick, while you're on the phone, you texted earlier, I just want to say thank you for your service. Thank you for your text that doesn't go unnoticed, and we appreciate your sacrifice. But also, your voice strikes me as a gruff guy, a manly guy, and I just want to picture you with fish nibbling at your feet and you going, tee-hee-hee.
I kind of used to look a little bit like a biker.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Well, when everybody thanks me for my service,
yeah,
I always tell them it really was an honor and a privilege.
Thank you.
And thank you all for paying taxes so I could.
Thank you.
Yes. You're awesome, Brett.
Thank you very much. Thank you for contacting. Awesome, that was some goosebumps right there.
Thank you so much, Brett. Really appreciate it. And thanks for joining in on this. Guys, specifically, ladies too, do you pedicure? Are you pedicurious? At 855-752-4842. Tony on the live stream says, nothing against it. I just don't care about it too much. Plus, I have three kids. So I'm too busy. I get that.
That just sounds like excuses for not pampering yourself. Have a me day. I'll come up there. I'll take care of the kids. Trust me, I'm cool. And you go pamper yourself. And I say that because I was so against pedicure. That's how this all came up. Once again, we don't plan audio sorbet. It just happens during the prep.
We're kicking things around.
And I said that I was very against pedicures. And it wasn't for manly reasons, because if you know me, not manly. It just kind of weirded me out. Not a big feet person. Don't really enjoy the looks of them. But I went up to San Francisco to see my brother-in-law with my wife, and my brother-in-law, God love him, he's not so much a planner with saying, hey, what do you want to do? He's a planner who says, we're doing this. And he got his pedicures. And I will say it opened my eyes a whole new world. And I love them. I don't do them all the time, but I do indulge when I can. And I would say they actually, it's not just even a... It's a pampering thing, but you feel the difference.
You do feel
it. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to get my nails done. It makes you feel good, but a pedicure actually, especially if you have feet that need attention, it'll make you walk different. It'll make your feet feel different. I mean, I used to have something on the side of my big toe that was just like
big callus or something.
It wasn't callus so much, but like there was no feeling right there. It was I don't know how to describe it. It just felt like hard skin. And someone just took a pumice thing and boom. It has actual benefits too. And that's what I would say is, like, it's not just treating yourself, but see how you feel afterwards.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Do you pedicure is today's audio sorbet question. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, absolutely.
Yay.
That's just part of something you have to do to take care of yourself. And I'd rather somebody else cut those claws than me.
So. I mean, feet can be kind of gnarly anyway, right, Troy?
And I didn't for a long time, but, you know, as I've aged, it's easier for somebody else. It's harder for me to bend down there.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, and reach those. So, and I'll be texting you pictures from Austin on Saturday.
Yay.
My stepdaughter lives up there, and I've got to go up and fix a couple of things up there for her. So okay. I'm going to a rally up there instead of Mount Horeb.
Love it.
Send us pictures, Troy. Send us pictures.
You can also email them to janesays@civicmedia.us. Send those pictures to us. We want to see about your rally pictures. Also, speaking of pictures, Brett sent pictures of the fishicure.
Thank you, Troy.
Thank you very much, Troy, for reaching out. And yes, everything about what I thought Brett looked like is true.
Oh, that's so
I expected
awesome.
A mustache or a beard. But yes, and his face is like, ooh, it's amazing.
Oh, I bet that was so he was so ticklish.
Brett, can you text us? I don't know if I would love to share these on our socials if possible. If not, I won't share them. And if we can't, I won't share them. But this is wonderful. I think this because I want to speak to David, who's listening in Richland Center right now, who says no pedicure because my feet are ugly and they would need an industrial grinder to tackle that job. I understand that. I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't do it. Self-consciousness.
Because you think these are so bad, right?
They've seen worse.
Oh, absolutely.
And even if they haven't, they don't judge.
No.
And honestly, I'm going to put a guarantee, because if Bob Jr. can make comments about autism and Tylenol, I can say this with confidence. You will feel better after you had it done. And especially with what Troy was saying with regard to clipping the toenails, that's important just for the health of your feet, because ingrown toenails are a thing.
Oh,
they can really work on your cuticles and make sure they're healthy. That's the other thing too. It's just like your fingernails. You got to be healthy or there can be problems. So yeah.
Jenny on the live stream, they're especially helpful for folks who have trouble reaching their toes or have circulation issues. Men deserve good things too. You are absolutely right, Jenny. Yes, they do.
God, I cannot speak to that enough. And that is a huge, huge thing for men to really, it's difficult.
Well, it's trying to get past all those stereotypes, right? And what has been ingrained in us for so long.
Yeah. And
that
I think
men, real men, don't do this. Well, back in the day, good heavens, if you watch Mad Men, they got manicures.
Manicures. They got
regularly.
They got pedicures. They wore nice suits. They had their custom tailor suits. I think, you know, I know this is sorbet, but I'm going to take a moment. And I say this with all knowledge that what women go through is a struggle and it's hard. And I'm not comparing and saying it's just as or worse. But unless you're a guy, I think especially living in America, you don't understand. It's hard to understand. Not you don't. It's hard to understand these weird pressures, because it's not like the pressures of Hollywood to say, look pretty, Jane. It's the pressures from society saying, don't cry because you're a man. You must provide because you're a man. Don't do that. You're a man. You don't have time for that. You're a man. It's difficult. And unfortunately, it's ingrained by our parents and our grandparents, because so on and so forth. So
yep.
If getting a pedicure is the one thing you can do that can take care of yourself, feel good,
yep,
and maybe feel better, go
do
for it.
It.
And don't tell anybody either. You don't have to tell anybody. Just try it. I want you to try it.
Absolutely. Dan from Wausau, I love this so much.
Yeah.
Texting in from WXCO. Oh no, will Jesse Waters at Fox call me beta and take away my man card? LOL.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Dan
just
in Wausau.
Just don't use a straw, Dan, because that apparently is revocable offense for a man card.
Or eating ice cream
in
public.
Ice cream.
Or voting for a Democrat.
Yeah, that'll make you a woman too, apparently.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for it and I think it's great. And I think it's something you should do. And women, if you're out there and you have the same feeling as Dan does and you're self-conscious about your feet, I get that too. Go for it.
Trust me, after the winter, because I don't get pedicures during the winter, when I go for the first time in spring, I always apologize. It's like, I know it's disgusting. I'm really sorry. They stick your feet in there for 15 minutes.
Can I tell you a really quick story about a pedicure going wrong? Or do we have some? Okay. I thought we had someone on the phone. I went to get a pedicure. My fifth anniversary with my wife. We got like an all day spa. And I did a Parafem dip. And the Parafem was so hot, it burned my foot. So don't do that. Don't do a Parafem dip.
Get a pedicure.
Get a pedicure. Treat yourself.
Andrew from Maine says pedicure is feet, right? I mean, I haven't had either sets of my nails painted, hands or feet, or other treatment done. Aside from dropping a tire on my foot, I don't think that counts even if it turned colors.
I get footicures and handicures all the time. What are you talking about?
All right. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. We'll end the show. The Mothman cometh. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air on the vast statewide, countrywide. Pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight is the WXCO Morning Report with Chad Holmes. Chad talks with Jane Graham Jennings, Executive Director of the Women's Community of Wausau, to talk about Domestic Violence Awareness Month in October. Check it out.
WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I am Chad Holmes. Continuing a conversation that I recorded yesterday with Jane Graham Jennings. She is the executive director of the Women's Community here in Wausau. October is Domestic Abuse Awareness Month. And part of the conversation was also the folks that give donations because of the important work that the women's community does here in our area.
Yeah, on a pretty regular basis, when someone sends a donation into the women's community, it comes with a note that says, when my mother was going through this, there wasn't somewhere like this for her. So I just want you, thank you for being there. So the fact that we have agencies in every county in Wisconsin to help address and remove the shame that had surrounded victims 40 years ago, awareness has increased. And why do we do that? Because it helps victims feel less alone. So that has all been positive in that there are places where victims can go and know that they're not going to be blamed and know that they're not going to be shamed. We talk about it more now, so that definitely is right. A positive. We still need to do that more. But the biggest positive impact is that there are places that victims can go to receive assistance and support and to understand and help them figure it out, because they're just trying to figure it out.
Right. It frankly hits me hard when I think about, when you talked about the people that have no place to go.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put yourself in the situation where you feel, and I think we've all had situations, not to the maybe to the point where you feel like your life is in danger, but it could be financial issues. It could be, you know, just issues interpersonally with people in your lives. But when you're at a point where your life is in danger, when you have nowhere to go, I mean, I don't know if people truly understand. You talk to these people, women often, who are in these abusive relationships. Is there anything you can share to maybe add perspective to why the importance of the women's community and other shelters throughout the country and the world are so vitally important, what these people are going through?
Absolutely. And to be clear, the majority of people we see are women, but certainly men experience abuse that, as yeah. well. So whether that's from another male partner right. or a female partner, and we serve men as well. Anyone who is being harmed by someone that they care about and that they believe love them.
And I'm sorry for making it sound like that, because that is vitally important to underline.
Yes. And you know, people always have questions about the name of our agency, and that's based in the history, because in the 70s, things were very different.
Right.
So now there are places everywhere that anyone who is a victim can go. Why are they important? Because being trapped in an abusive relationship is very complex, and it doesn't make sense. So as humans, what we do when things don't make sense is we fill in the gaps. We make it logical, because we're logical beings, and that's what we want it to be. So when victims can't figure out why this is happening, they blame themselves. They're like, I must have done this or this or this. Why would this person who I love do this? They said they were sorry. I'm sure they're sorry. How can I make this better? And what we can help provide is just a sounding board. We can just offer listening and just kind of offer some alternative thoughts. When someone is trapped in an abusive relationship, they're really just trying to figure it out. It gets more complex when you have children. So there are all kinds of things that victims are trying to assess and figure out. And leaving an abusive relationship doesn't guarantee safety. And that's something that is really hard for people to understand. Just leaving is not that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just happen, because the manipulation and abuse often continues. Most victims of domestic violence homicide happen. They are killed after they leave the relationship. So it doesn't guarantee safety. People are trying to figure it out. And what services like ours do is we are with them through that entire process. Victims will return to that relationship trying to make it work multiple times. That's what we all do. Even in healthy relationships, we don't just walk away when there's an argument. Mm-hmm. We try to figure it out. We have apologies. We make it work. In an abusive relationship, those apologies are lies. They are betrayal. But victims are just like anyone in another relationship, just trying to figure it out and believe their partner.
Again, we're talking to Jane Graham Jennings, the executive director of the Women's Community here on 98.9 WXCO. It is October, which is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Maybe just a question that kind of popped into my mind. When there's times of, whether it is economic upheaval, times of recession, depression, when there's I would say that we're in a time in our country where there is a lot of angst and anxiousness generally. During those times, do you find that when things, and again, I'm talking about in a macro environment, sure, as opposed to, because everybody, even when things are so in a so-called wonderful time for, you know, everything's morning in America back in the day, there were still a lot of people that were struggling. But when you do have times where there is, I think, generally within the country, a lot of struggle, do you see the numbers for domestic violence also go up as well? That is there a correlation, I would ask, in that respect?
Somewhat. I sometimes it's really hard to find the what people think is causal and correlated. So all of those stressors are not causal. Mm-hmm. You know, people who choose to use harm and manipulation make that choice. What may be correlated is that when everyone is uncertain and the level of uncertainty, if you're not certain about your job, if you're not certain about your next paycheck, all of that can compound an already difficult mindset. So that's not causal, but certainly correlated, because the more people are anxious, the more they lash out. Mm. So we do see some correlation. But again, I always want to make sure people understand it's not causal. Just like alcohol does not cause abuse, mm-hmm, it is a contributing factor in many situations, but it doesn't cause it. When you have someone who is using power and control, that is always a choice, and they're choosing that behavior.
We will continue this important conversation with the Executive Director of the Women's Community here in Wausau, Jane Graham Jennings, coming up at 7:52. Bottom of the hour information update is coming up, and then it's more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. The Chad Holmes Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WXCO weekday mornings from 8 until 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
We move on to New Wisco Weekend with Lisa Hale. This story was on the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry and the effects that federal cuts had on farmers that donate produce to the pantry.
This is New Wisco Weekend for WISS and WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story from the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry, or OACP. We're joined by Executive Director Ryan Rasmussen. The Oshkosh Area Community Pantry has been very vocal of late on how some of the federal changes are affecting community pantries and pantries. And one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was how the reduction in the cut on some of those federal programs that farmers participate, how they are affecting you.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a interesting couple of months, that's for sure. And I think when you say, you know, we've been a little bit more vocal, we have, and mostly it's just because we want to help spread awareness about what's actually happening out there. And so, you know, one of the things that have really impacted us, back a couple of years ago, between the federal government and the state, the federal government allotted a certain amount of money to give to the states, to give directly to farmers. And it was part of the LFPA program, or the local food purchase assistance program. And through that program, it was really designed to make sure that pantries were actually being able to receive some of the, you know, vital either local products or dairy products or produce products, and it's coming directly from the farmers. And so they would allocate a certain number of funds for the state to give directly to farmers to be able to give that produce to food banks, food pantries throughout the entire state. And that program was extremely successful for the 2 years that it ran. And we were making a lot of really great positive relationships with some of our local farmers. One in particular that we'll shout out is Olden Organics out of Ripon. Has been a great, phenomenal player, you know, even during those 2 years and now, especially after all that's happened, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But it was a great program. It allowed our guests to have access to a lot of the great fresh fruits, vegetables, things that generally you don't see at pantries and are kind of not heard of. And so for us, it was a great opportunity to take advantage of that program. And it was great for the farmers because it was allowing them to be able to put produce in ground to come directly and stay in our communities.
Now, you mentioned that it was dairy and produce and stuff. And I'm envisioning, and please tell me if I'm wrong, I'm envisioning that this affected milk,
This affected eggs. This affected tomatoes, zucchini, pumpkins this time of year. Yeah, I mean, all of this.
All of the above. I mean, all of those products for sure. And one of the great pieces about this, you know, in kind of collaboration from the Wisconsin Food Hub and some of the Farm Bureau and some other folks, I mean, nonprofits and food banks could really have a group of folks that they could go to for a variety of different needs, you know. So even though I shouted out Olden Organics, I mean, it could be, you know, some dairy farmers, or it could be some, you know, specific potato growers associations, or it could be some other folks that were taking part of this. I mean, one of the big ones were some of the Hmong farmers that were around. They're drastically affected by any of the changes now, because there was dollars that were coming directly to them to be able to provide and donate their produce. So, I mean, it was really a whole host of products, and really pantries and food banks could work with a variety of different folks.
And now,
unfortunately, based on March, April timeframe, the federal government decided to just cut that program completely. A lot of times folks will ask, well, why? I wish I had the answer. I don't have the answer on why. But what it did do is take all of the money that was going to be allocated to those farmers this summer. And it's gone. And so the timing with which it happened was also unfortunate, because a lot of the farmers and producers that we were talking with, they had already planted for the season. And so they had already allocated their crops or their resources to the pantries or to the food banks that they work with. And then the funding got cut. So when that happened, specifically with Olden Organics, Tracy and I had chatted, and, you know, she instantly said, food's in the ground. We're still going to get it to you. We're just going to take the loss this year. I mean, there's just no way that they were going to be able to make it up. And I, at that point, we had just started to kind of down this path of that. That's just not okay. I mean, we needed to do everything that we could to try to help, you know, not only save what this relationship was going to be like, but also try to reimburse her somehow for all the produce that she was going to give us. And so that was where we started on this path of just talking to everybody and anybody that we could about this program and what the effects were. And I think really about a month and a half ago, when we had the articles that were written, really saying the impact to us was going to cost about $120,000 worth of produce that we weren't going to see this summer. I think that was the first time that it really hit home in the community that, oh, wow, this is something that isn't just being talked about in the media as like this bigger thing, is actually happening right here, right now in this community. And that was the effect for us. Through just talking about it, we've been able to not only get a lot of awareness about it, but also I'm happy to say we've been able to raise about $80,000 of that 120 back that we were able to help pump back into the system. So
that is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I want to hit on something that is there but hadn't been said yet. And that is that this is just the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry that it was affected to the tune of $120,000.
Absolutely.
This is also affecting other pantries throughout Wisconsin, not just Oshkosh, but others as well.
Yeah, it's throughout all of Wisconsin for sure, even throughout the entire United States. I mean, this was a federal program, so this was going to be happening to every food bank, every food pantry that is in the continental U.S., so yeah, it is not just a localized issue from different areas. I mean, it was a clean sweep cut throughout the entire country. And so some of those effects are probably yet to really be seen countrywide. I don't even know that I could tell you how many millions of dollars that it was worth, but I do know, at least in Wisconsin, you know, we're talking upwards to, you know, $120-130 million worth of support that was supposed to be going into the state. That's just not there.
Oh, and this is also at a time when the need seems to be growing and growing.
Without a doubt. I mean, we're seeing just at our pantry alone, unprecedented growth. In the last 3 years, I mean, we've grown 50% alone in the guests that we serve. 3 years ago, we were averaging about 1,300 families a month. As we sit here today, we just crossed 2,800 families a month that we're now helping. And I'm hearing that throughout, you know, all of the pantry networks that we work with. I'm hearing those same types of stories. I mean, the need is just growing throughout the entire U.S.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about how the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry is different, because it is a very different pantry from what a lot of people are used to. Number one, when people come to the OACP, they come to shop. It is like a shopping experience. You go up and down the aisles, you collect your food, then you take it through a checkout, so to speak.
Yeah.
Which I think is is phenomenal. It's a lot better than going up and saying, I'm here for my food pantry box and getting a box.
100%. You nailed all of it. I mean, truly, that is what makes us special at Oshkosh Area Community Pantry. And I think the other piece about that that makes us special, that's a little bit different than other pantries, is how barrier-free we really are. We can proudly say that we're the only food pantry in the entire state that is open to all guests from the entire state. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that folks from Chippewa Falls and Milwaukee and La Crosse are all coming to utilize our pantry. But what it did, is it allowed us to be able to make sure that our rural partners, folks from Berlin, Ripon, you know, Eureka, some of our surrounding rural areas had access to be able to come to us, even stretching to Nina Menasha, Appleton, Fond du Lac. Now, again, a significant portion of our group is still coming from the Oshkosh area or throughout Winnebago County, but not having those service area boundaries really just makes us more inclusive all the way around. And as you talked about with the shopping experience, we're the only pantry that is truly a choice-based pantry that does not have checkpoints, that does not have volunteers that are walking around with you while you're shopping. We are you are truly able to shop just like any other grocery store and take the items that you need. We really lean into the dignity and choice at our store. And that's just a philosophy that we'll never compromise.
Like you said, it's respectful. It's a dignified way of doing your shopping. You don't feel less than.
100%. And I think, you know, one of our taglines that we have is even just the way that we talk about our guests, and we say guest, we don't say client, we don't say, you know, any of the other stereotypical things, truly because our belief are guests want to be welcome, clients want to be served. And so we want to make sure that that experience is felt. As soon as you walk in our doors, you're being welcomed, you're being shown around, you're, you know, have easy access if you have questions about things. This is truly a gathering place that you can come be with, you know, like-minded folks, and you can come take care of your shopping needs. You know, and to be able to do that in a store environment where you can pick what you want, you know, you're not hand tied to a box, that this is the allotment that you're getting, just really leans into that entire experience.
Plus, not everybody likes, well, you don't want another can of beans.
Exactly, that was exactly my example. I mean, we talk about the poor pinto beans that sometimes sit there for days and days and days and days. You know, and generally, the fact that we have this model is also a little selfish, right? Because we want to control that waste. We don't want to give people that can of pinto beans that don't know what to do with it, or they don't know how to prepare it, or they don't have the means to be able to prepare it, or they just flat out don't like it. What happens to that poor can of beans, right? It's given out, and then it comes back either in a donation or it goes to the trash. And so we just want to eliminate that completely. Come pick what you want. You're not hand tied to having to take the things that you don't like, because who wants to do that?
Exactly. Now, we mentioned that there's low barrier to using the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry. And I wanted to go through that real quickly. If somebody is experiencing food insecurity and needs the help, how do they go about getting it?
Yeah, we're really, really simple. So anytime that we are open for guest shopping, which is Mondays from 2:00 until 6:00, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 10 a.m. until 2:45 p.m., stop on in. We're asking folks that if they have an ID and are willing to provide it, to bring that. And if they have proof of address and they're willing to provide it, that's great. That proof of address could be a piece of mail with their name and address on it. I mean, anything that just shows that their name and their address. If anybody doesn't have any of those items or they're unwilling to show those items, it's still okay. We'll still get you registered. For us, though, along with that and some of the other demographic questions that we'll ask you, we just use it for grant writing and grant reporting. And now more than ever, it's so important for us to try to gather as much of that data as possible, because the folks that we do grant write with, or the folks that are foundations that are looking for some of that information, really want us to share kind of what are some of the impacts that we have. And so that's why it is optional for us. I mean, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, no big deal. We'll still get you registered. We'll still get you shopping same day. But if you are willing to provide it, it would really help us to make sure that we can keep the funding coming in to help support the pantry.
And if somebody wants to help the pantry, how do they go about doing that?
We always talk about the big three. Can you be a giver of food? Can you be a giver of money? Or can you be a giver of time? Obviously, from a food perspective, host a food drive, talk to some of maybe the type club groups that you're associated with. You know, think about donating. We've got a on our website at oacptoday.org. We've got a food drive focus kind of piece of information that has different themes for every month and, you know, all the things that you need to put on your food drive. So take a look at that toolkit. It's online. It's super simple. If you're going to be a giver of money, which is always great for us because it allows us to be able to go purchase any of the items that we generally don't see during during donations. So, one of the things that we always talk about is, you know, Manwich, for whatever reason, is something that's not often donated, but we'll go out and purchase it because it's an easy pantry staple that we can go out and get. And then lastly, being a giver of time, and would you consider being a volunteer? Volunteering for us is also really simple. We've got an online resource where you can pick your own hours. So whether you volunteer for 1 hour a week or 1 hour a month or 40 hours a week, it does not matter to us. We need all the help we can get.
And where does somebody go to find that?
Yeah, all of that is going to be on our website, oacptoday.org. We do have a volunteer section there. Just click the apply button, fill out the information. That'll go directly to our volunteer manager and he'll reach out to you after that.
Ryan, it's always a pleasure to have you here. And I'm so thankful that you came to New Wisco Weekend to speak with us today.
Thank you, Lisa. You've always been great. We appreciate all the support.
Coming up, Wagon Roots, a musical duo from Door County. This is New Wisco Weekend.
New Wisco Weekend is a part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs Saturdays at 8 a.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. on 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And don't forget about Sundays at 8 a.m. on 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To finish off the final segment of the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete is joined by TASC actor Jamie McShane. Pete and Jamie talk about his role as being the bad guy and acting with Mark Ruffalo.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Dave on the stream says, baby boom. It's a great fantasy. Yeah, that's one of my wife's favorite Diane Keaton movies too, Dave. That's a good one. And PJ says, the Godfather movies. Jamie, you know, as an actor, I'm sure you'll appreciate this. I said this about Diane Keaton before. Like, I loved her in Annie Hall, but she's one of those actors that always kind of played herself a little bit or some derivation of that. But in the Godfather movies, she was so different and just sort of docile. And I thought it really showed her range kind of because it was such a different role. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but.
Yeah, I think she was so new too. I don't know what she had done before that. And she was so kind of not plain, but very, I guess docile's the right word. Just very sweet without much of an edge or not a spark, but you know, she was just kind of calmer.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, to me, it was like you saw a different side of her. She kind of became iconic playing that kind of, you know, not neurotic, but like just how her persona was. And it was very funny and entertaining, but like she obviously was just a very good actor too. So, all right, I kind of, there's an old saying in show business, never open with a showstopper. And I kind of did that by talking about TASC first, and now I'm going to 1923. But you were very good in that too. Your role wasn't as big, but yet another bad guy.
He was horrible.
He was a bad dude. But what was it like? Like, that was for Taylor Sheridan. You were out shooting, riding horses. What a fun role that must have been too.
Yeah, it was a blast. I got to do a couple episodes in season one, and then he wrote a lot more for me in season two. And when you work for Taylor on the Westerns, they fly you out like a week or so, 10 days earlier, and they train you at cowboy camp. Like, they make sure you learn to ride as best you can.
Oh, wow.
And they give you like brand new pair of boots to ride in and a hat, and they suit you up. And it's a blast. I mean, it was just a blast. You wind up riding every day, usually with a bunch of other guys or girls. And it's like being a kid and getting paid for it.
Is it like the scene in Blazing Saddles where they're sitting around the fire eating beans? Is it similar to that?
Yeah, it was mostly like that. Yeah, it was mostly like that, but from the saddle itself, not sitting around. We were actually on the saddle, and it was usually when you were trotting.
Oh, very well said. Very tactful. That was great. Who are some of your favorite actors to watch? Like, you know, I know you had influences. Last time you were here, we talked about Gene Hackman and how much we both love Gene Hackman. And he passed away, ironically, just a few days later. But do you have people right now that you just like when you're flipping around the dial, it's like you can't turn that off because you're such a huge fan?
Well, Gary Oldman. I mean, it's just top notch on that. Sam Rockwell, I find very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
have you worked with him?
People. No, I never have gotten to.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
But Gary,
a bunch out there.
Gary Oldman is. Do you watch Slow Horses?
Oh yeah, I love it.
Love that show.
Yeah.
He's so great. And I, you know, he's one of those guys who's such a serious actor that I expect him to be so serious or sort of dark when he's in interviews, but he's so funny and he's so much fun. Like the guy has a great sense of humor, you know?
He is. And in person, he's wonderful.
Is he?
He's a hoot. Yeah. Oh God, he's fun. He's funny. He's fun. He's so approachable. He's great. I loved working with him.
What about actresses? Is there someone out there you'd love to work with that you haven't yet, or someone you've already worked with that you just think the world of?
I worked with Holly Hunter a little bit. I thought the world of her. Viola Davis. Viola Davis was wonderful. I got to work with her. I think the list is too long to say who I would love to work with, but there's a lot of them.
What about a role? Like, you're so good at doing the bad guy, James, but like, you know, is there a role that you want to, would you like to play the hero or the savior somehow, or like a cop or a someone who's going through a trans issue, like some crazy role that, you know, is really pushes you? Is there some role out there like that that's evaded you or that you've
probably? I'm waiting for you to write it. I would love to. Yeah, I'd love to play all those things. Cops, I've played a lot of cops.
Yeah.
You know, different dirty cop or clean cop. I played on Southland, one of the few shows in a while where I played a really good guy, you know, and that was a blast on that show. I loved it. Another great show.
That was, I can't remember who we had on. It might have been Glenn Morshower who said, or it was someone that said the Southland was the most authentic cop show they had ever seen. And I still haven't even seen it, so I got to.
Oh, it's great.
I got to check it out.
It's great.
Well, thanks again, buddy. Before I let you go, I got to ask you, are you binge watching anything that doesn't have Jamie McShane in it or something that does? What could you recommend?
Well, we started, the Ed Gein thing with Charlie Hunnam.
Oh yeah.
So we've been watching that. And then, I think that's the latest one. Cause I was back in Jersey for a while, for some family stuff. And my mother has very limited television. So Heather waits for me to get back to binge stuff together.
She doesn't Netflix cheat. That's a big thing. Like, it's hard to wait for your partner to actually watch the shows and not go ahead.
She'll watch stuff she knows I don't want to watch.
All right, that's good.
So it's fair enough.
You worked with him too on Sons of Anarchy, which must have been cool, with Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie, he's a sweetheart. He's great. He's a wonderful guy. Very, very gentle person, despite the badass he plays, and very kind.
Yeah.
Very kind.
Well, dude, you keep somehow ending up in these shows surrounded by great actors. And I think a lot of that you could attribute to yourself as well. You're in these great circles and likeness attracts. So keep up the great work. We're watching, and I everything you do, I just love.
Pete, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me back. And I do love coming on your show here.
Thank you, buddy. Despite not liking me personally, I appreciate you coming on.
No, that has nothing to do with it. The show is wonderful.
Okay.
I mean, I'm so surprised you're actually the host.
Hey, don't say, Conrad, cut that out of the podcast.
Buddy,
all
right. I love you. You're a dear friend.
You too. Love you too, buddy. Talk to you soon.
See you.
Jamie McShane, ladies and gentlemen. Check out Task. It is really a good show. And if you liked Mayor of Easttown, you'll love this. This surpassed Mayor of Easttown, and I love that. But Task just keeps getting better every week. Check it out, folks. We are coming right back for Act Two. After the news, it's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.